Disciples to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to just ask God to let us get something out of this chapter as we begin to see a man who's an outstanding man of God in the Old Testament. Elijah is one of the greatest people that you'll find. Oh, the God of Elijah. People knew that Elijah had a God, and they respected that God because Elijah made him manifest in a marvelous way. But even great men of God sometimes have areas where that they feel the pressure that comes upon them. And so it is in this chapter here. So we're looking at Elijah after he's had a great time. He stood before the prophets of Baal. He's contested them at the mountaintop. And God's answered with victory and blessing. And when it's all over with, Elijah's depressed. You know, when you serve God, sometimes it takes a whole lot out of you. And a lot of people think, well, I'd just like to be a preacher, and I wish I could, you know, do what Brother George is doing. I'll tell you, if you didn't let God cause you to grow, you'd find it pull so much out of you that you'd be really tore apart. The other day I was just standing, somebody had two calls coming in or something, I just banging my head against the wall, you know, and I don't know if I thought I was going to pound some sense in it or what, but I quit after a while, but... There's a lot of pressure sometimes, and God causes us to grow through that pressure. But make no mistake about it, ministry can be pressure. And God causes us to be stirred and desire to grow so that we can go forward. But we're going to begin in the first verse of chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets of Baal, by the way, with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I want you to look at this. You would suppose that if God used you for miracles, that you'd say, Jezebel, you can't do it. Why, Jezebel, I don't worry about you one bit. God is able to keep me. In many cases, we do just respond in this way. But this man, Elijah, knew that because God used you yesterday, it didn't mean that God was going to use you tomorrow. And because you had a miracle yesterday, it doesn't always mean that you're going to have a miracle when a next time would be appropriate. And when he had seen God do such a great work of devastating the prophets of Baal, he found out that the queen still was strong, and she was blowing fire like a dragon, and she was speaking out of her anger, and she meant every word that she said when she said, I'm going to stretch your skin on a post before long. And there we look and we find that Elijah found himself discouraged in that moment. He found himself depressed in that moment. He found himself with a problem in that moment that only God could take care of. And the way that he responded to it, he ran and he said, I want to get away from here. And he said, I want to die. I just want to escape. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. I don't want any more to do. I don't want to preach no more. I don't want to do anything. I just want to die. Now it goes on, and as he lay, verse 5, and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. A miracle was there, but he wasn't interested in the miracle. He was interested in escaping. Just let me sleep. All I want to do is sleep. That's all. All I want to do is escape. All I want to do is forget everything that's happened. All I want to do is forget everything that's happening. I find myself exhausted and worn out, and all I want to do is sleep. But God had an angel, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now the angel recognizes that this man has a need, and he has a physical need, as well as mentally and spiritually depleted. His body is worn out and exhausted, and all of his energies has been used up. But God speaks to him through an angel and says, rise and eat, for the journey's too great for thee. And he comes to his moment of getting out of his posture. He moves into an erect manner, and he begins to eat, and he finds himself strengthened, and he's able to go 40 days toward God's mountain. And he comes into that mountain, and as he's there, God begins to speak to him. And in the last part of verse 9, God speaks to him and says, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you'll find a lot about Elijah's problem now in this moment. Verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now Elijah's discouragement was that he believed that he was the only true person that God had. Well, that's bad enough. But if you find yourself failing, the devil tells you that God's got nobody. You're nothing. And everybody else he's got's no better. You know, at least Elijah knew that he was right with God. He had something that he could stand on that's more than what most people have, because they're immature and haven't come into the places of victory they ought to be. And the devil says nobody but nobody is right with God. You know that you're not. And all the other people you know, the preachers are in it for money, and these people lack love, and those people aren't consecrated. And the devil will cause you to believe that God has nobody. And that was the very center of the problem that Elijah had. He believed that God did not have anybody. And God speaks and says in verse 18, after God had spoken to him, you can go back and read this chapter at your leisure at another time. But God speaks and says, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah was wrong. The man of God missed it in this point. He wasn't wrong in his faith. He wasn't wrong in his dedication. He wasn't wrong in his desire to serve God. But he was wrong in a way that was robbing him spiritually. The way that he was wrong is that he thought, there's nobody but me who really wants to serve God. And God said to him, you're wrong, Elijah. I've got 7,000 men. There's 7,000 who have not kissed Baal. There's 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to him. Now you might ask the question, and I think I would too. If Elijah was surrounded by 7,000 people who have not bowed to Baal, why was it that he didn't know about it? Why didn't he know this? If there's 7,000 that are true to God, how is it that Elijah is not aware? I think the answer is this. When God begins to move in our lives, the first thing that God shows us is what we ought not to do. And what God shows us is that we ought not to bow our knees to Baal. God will begin to speak to your heart, and the Christian experience is, in one hand, not doing something. In the other hand, it's moving over to doing something. But doing for God does not begin always at the beginning of our Christian life as much as it ought or we would like to see it. But there's something that's shared always with every believer. If your heart is right with God, He'll tell you what not to do. I remember a little girl who gave her heart to the Lord. I've given this testimony before. But her mom was an unsaved person with problems in her life. Her dad was not in the home. The home was filled with problems, and it seemed like the neighborhood was filled with problems. And this little girl came and gave her heart to Jesus with no background of a Christian behavior, no background of a Christian life. And as she said yes to Jesus, she went on her way, and during a day she'd gone down to a theater and was sitting watching a show. And while she was sitting there,